Well, thanks for the introduction. My name is Ruto. I work with Virginia State University. My presentation is on the stinging nettle. It's not yet widely accepted as a crop. I'm trying to change that. We have done some work on it, and as some people know, it's found in the wild, even though there is a history of cropping in Europe. It's the perennial in the Urticaceae family, and it's known for stinging. That's why it's called the stinging nettle. And the stinging component of it is that the hairs on the leaf and the stem, and they inject some chemicals into the body. It's an hollow trichome, and it behaves like an hypodermic needle. So it injects some steroids into the bloodstream, and that's what causes the irritation. But other than the stinging, it's got a long history of usage. It's been harvested for food, for fiber, and for medicine. There are people who are interested in, those who are interested in homeopathic medicine will know about these. And also in Europe, and mostly in Eastern Europe, it's also eaten in place of spinach. Actually, the Germans did some agronomic work in the 1940s. And it was mostly because they needed it for the fiber. If you study about these, the British controlled most of the trade in cotton because they ruled the colonies where the cotton was being grown. And during the war, the Germans couldn't get access to enough cotton. So they started growing the nettle for fiber, and they actually developed a technology for cottonizing the fiber from nettle, and they used it to make uniforms and other textiles. So at one point, actually, there were about 500 acres in production in Germany and Austria. But in our case, we are looking at this afresh. We are seeing this as a potential crop. And one of our main interests is that it's a nitrophile. It takes up a lot of nitrogen. It's a fast grower. It is perennial, which is to say you plant it once and you get to harvest for a length of time. And it's also considered an indicator for soil health. Where you see it growing, it means the soil is rich and good for cropping. Like I said, we see it as a potential crop due to its characteristic as a plant that takes up a lot of nutrients from the soil. And we see the potential of using it to clean up manures from animal operations, and to recycle that material, to recycle the biomass as feed, so that you have a closed loop system where you're feeding the crop from the animal wastes and feeding the biomass from the crop to the animals. So we did some work from around 2000, and we found it very difficult to establish except through transplant. So we went through this process of starting the seedlings in the greenhouse. You can see them on a bench over here. And they do germinate readily, and they produce very nice seedlings. This is a seedling here that has been removed from the peat pot. And we used a transplanter, and this is what the transplants look like after they're in the ground. For an highly intensive horticultural crop, this is probably practical and cost effective, but our intention is to sell this as a field crop that can be grown at a scale where you can harvest for forage. So this method of establishment really is not practical. So that is the basis for the work that I'm presenting here. We figured you have to find a way to direct seed. And so we didn't even try to direct seed because the seed is very small. If you have to direct seed, you have to use equipment, and there is no planter that can handle seed that is less than a millimeter across. So we sought help increasing the size through coating. Our intention was to see if we can solve the two problems of increasing the size enough to be able to use a planter, and also to improve contact with the soil, because the size is such that if you put it in soil in a seedbed that is not very well prepared, it's not going to have enough contact with the soil to get enough moisture to germinate. So we contracted a seed company in North Carolina. They did the seed coating for us, and you can see we managed, at least they increased the size to about 2.5 millimeters, which is about big enough to use a standard small grain planter. Actually, the same company that did this for us specializes in coating tobacco seed. So we have this advantage of being in a region that grows tobacco, because as you know, tobacco seed is also small. In fact, it's slightly smaller than nettle seed. And so we were able to get those services. So we did some lab tests. We did lab germination tests. At the top, you can see the coated seed. At the bottom, you can see the seeds that are uncoated. And to the right, you can see a seed that is germinating on filter paper. We also did, I'll present the results for that lab test. The results, I'll be honest, were surprising. We expected the coated seeds to perform better than seeds that were not coated, but the opposite was observed. Overall, the germination rate was very low. It was less than 15%, and the coating reduced germination rate. And what we determined, at least what we suspected was the problem, was that it was not very easy to control watering in the petri dishes. The seeds were too small, so that either they were dry or they were flooded. And they used diatomaceous clay as the coating agent, and so I think it's very good at taking up moisture. It's hydrophilic, so it sort of created an anaerobic environment. Next time, we did this last year, we're planning to repeat this work. We are planning to use a sandwich of filter paper and try to create a space where you'll have airflow, and maybe see if we see some changes in germination. We also took the same sets of seed and we did a germination test in the greenhouse. We put we planted the seeds into cells, trays with cells, and we planted the cells to about 5 by 5 centimeters, and we planted them at 3 depths, that is placing on the surface, making sure it's firmly in contact with the media, point 1/4 centimeter deep and 1/2 centimeter deep. And then we made sure that the media stayed moist through subsurface irrigation. And after the 5th day, we started tiling germination, and we did this for over a period of 10 days. So these were the germination trends starting from the 5th day, and we can see that germination reached a peak in 2 weeks, which is what we had observed when we were starting the seedlings in that other process where we were establishing through seedlings. We have seen that it takes about, essentially about after you sow the seed, it takes about 15 days to get complete germination. So the media we used, one was we amended one set with compost, and the other one we did not amend. And once again, the literature says that the species loves organic soil, and so the estimation was that it would perform better if we provided compost from the get-go. And the results, again, were opposite of what we expected. Germination was low where there was compost. It was higher. The seedling emergence was almost the same in terms of the trend, but the number of seedlings were more in the media without compost. I have some more data here that shows the relationship between germination and compost also, but we note that germination was significantly higher if we placed the seeds on the surface on media that did not have any compost. And so essentially that is to say that the seeding depth had a negative impact on germination. The deeper you planted the seed, the longer it took to come up to the surface, and sometimes they didn't come up to the surface at all. Cotton, once again, we observe at all depths, was not good for germination, except at the treatment where we place the seed on the surface, where we notice that actually the coating plus placement on the surface resulted in not significantly different but higher germination than all the other measures. So we essentially we were surprised by the results. We set off with a set of ideas that we thought we were going to prove, and we found it at the end of the day impossible to reject the null hypothesis. We know that there are different factors that control germination, and in addition to the natural factors of light, temperature, moisture, and the age of the seed, we also know that in coated seed, at least, the material you use is important, and also the interaction with the surrounding environment. So we plan, at least going forward, one other observation. I got a student to go through the pellets, 100 of them, 3 times, to tell me for sure if there was a seed in there, because I started to think maybe this was a factor related to some of the... If the seed is not very clean, the pelletizing process puts a coat of pelleting material on any particle that gets into contact with the material. So I thought maybe there was a large number of the pellets that didn't have any seed in there. And so I had this checked, and I found, in fact, that about 8% of the pellets did not contain any seed, which is really not too high. It does not by itself account for the low germination. So we are trying to control some of these factors. One of the things we did was we said, in order to control the pelleting process, we are going to buy our own pelletizer. And then we are going to try to get hold of all sorts of pelleting material, see if there is any that works better than the other. We are also going to try priming the seed. And in the case of the compost, we wondered if it was something to do with dumping of fungi or something like that. And we thought maybe we might consider using some protectants as part of the coating process. And maybe also trying to put some starter fertilizer into the pellet. And ultimately, when we feel we are ready, we'll also try to take these to the field. I would like to thank you for your attention.
We do have time for a question or two.
Yes.
I'm wondering, why out of your
yes.
Are you sure you are applying the right temperature regime for germination of the crop? Because obviously temperature would have a significant role.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that temperature has a role. In fact, I think from what I've seen, it's supposed to germinate at 16 degrees centigrade, around that range, from 16 to 20 degrees centigrade. But the establishment we did for starting the seedlings that we used to start the field experiments, we did in the greenhouse without controlling the temperature. Room temperature, it was about 20 to 25 degrees centigrade. So I wondered, I figured maybe there was no need to worry about temperature. But that is one of the things I hope to control, like I said, in the next experimentation. Because now I'm not so sure anymore what the plant needs to germinate. Yes.
You know, having had stinging nettles as a weed, they're not something I would think an animal would find very helpful. So is that something you will work on once you get the germination?
Yes. Actually, we do not intend to graze the nettle. We have done some work. We have preliminary data showing that the goats will eat it if you pelletize it.
And so get rid of the...
Yes. If you dry it and grind it and pellet it, it does not sting. If you cook it for 1 minute at 90 degrees, it does not stink. That's why you can eat it. But, we did our initial harvesting by hand. And I'll tell you, some of the staff still don't like me. Yeah, for that. But we have an harvester now. We have a flail chopper, and we cut it, and like almost like what you showed for your own forage harvester. So we don't touch it anymore. And we hope it can be a good forage, because if people can eat it, we figure the animals should eat it too. It can be a substitute for alfalfa, actually. It's got a nitrogen content of between 3% and 4%, which is about 18% to 22% crude protein.
Thank you.